We're going to be talking today about a connection, really, about a Christian connection. And it's very important that we realize that. We live in a world where we're becoming more disassociated with each other. We talk to each other on a computer now. And I'm not being critical of Facebook and all that stuff and all the computers and all that. And that's great, that's good. But let me tell you something. We got to have some time face to face with people. We need that. We need that with God's people. We need it at home. Sometimes families live in the same house, but they really don't get to associate with each other because everybody's so busy. Have you got 50,000 things to do, it seems, this week, and every one of them are very important? Let me tell you something. If you don't get a one done, the world will go on. I don't care who you are. We had a fellow that was elected as a president of this country. It came Sunday and he went to church. And the people were saying to him, said, how can you go to church? What if something happens in the world? What if we need you? What if something going on? He said, then you handle it till I get back. Let me tell you something. We don't need to worry about as much stuff as we worry about. God is still in heaven and He is in control. How wonderful it is. What we've got to do is to make sure we're connected with God. We've got to be those people that we think about God and that we want to be a part of God. We want God to be a part of us. But not only that, we want to be a part of the church. We live in a world, in this country, the last figure I saw, and I may be wrong about this, so just correct me, it won't hurt my feelings, that 79% of the people in this country, and sometimes it's higher, have said that they want to be Christians and that they are Christians. Well, let me ask you something. Do you think 79% of the people at Tanner and in church today? I doubt it. In fact, if you can get like 8 to 10%, and sometimes I've heard up to 20% of those people that say that they're Christians to assemble in the church, you're doing real good. And a lot of people today are Christians, but they're just kind of out on their own. You've heard the saying that people have said before, you know, I really like Christ, but I don't care for His church. And we act like that. There's many people today that say that they're Christians, and this morning they did not get up and have to decide, am I going to the worship service or not? They had already decided a long time ago, I'm not going. And they're not going to be here. And you know what? We can talk ourselves blue in the face. We can quote scriptures if we want to. They may not come. Now, please don't take that as me saying we don't need to talk to them and encourage them. We need to do that. Because we need to help them to see how important it is to be involved within the church. How necessary it is. We are to be together. Paul talked about the church as a body that functions together in 1 Corinthians 12. He wanted those people there to know every part of you is important. You see, the people at Corinth, they were classifying people. They were saying, you know, some people are up here, some are down here, some are over here. And they classified them. And so, you know, if you're down here in the bottom, you know, don't worry about those. But if you're up here at the top, you do. Let me tell you something. God has one level. He calls us all Christians. And He says we're all a part of the same body. Now, your work may be considered by some as very important. Some people think that preaching is the best job in the church. Well, some days it is. And some days it's not. But let me tell you something. There's some ladies that fix food that they do as good a job in fixing that food and helping people and taking care of people as a preacher does when he stands up and preaches. I don't know if I like that amen or they or not, but that's it. No, I appreciate it, Henry. It gave us something to laugh about. But that is true. There's a lot of works that are to be done. And let's not classify our work. I mean, we got good song leaders. But let me tell you something. Let it be in your heart, not in your head. We got good preachers, I think. Let it be in your heart, not your head. Don't look at yourself as though you're that important. But you see, a part of what we're living in today is people just don't see the need to be a child of God and to live according to the principles that are set forth in the Bible. Now, I think if you're going to do that, then you're going to try to assemble with God's people. But we've got a lot of people that they really want to be what we might call solo Christians. They're Christians at home, and they may stay at home. And again, you may stay at home sometime because you're sick, and you may watch it on television. Huntsville, Gary Bradley's own, does a fabulous job. Mack Lyon or who's the other guy that with him? I saw him the other day. I can't understand what you're saying, but Linda's telling me what it is. If y'all want to know, ask her later. Phil, yeah. And James Watkins, Phil Sanders. I saw Phil Sanders the other day. Couldn't think of his name. I thought of it then. I just couldn't think of it now. But we've got all those on there. Please understand, I'm not being critical of those people. But I'm going to tell you every one of them, and I'll get their phone number for you if you want it. They'll tell you if you can, you need to be in a worship service with a congregation and not just sit at home watching them on television. We need to learn to participate, to be together. Now, look at this, if I can hit the right button on this thing. Okay, look at this. We have a problem. We've got a big problem with solo Christians. That's the reason that today we don't have the numbers that we had a while back. People are doing that. If you ask them, are you a Christian? They'll say, yes, of course I am. I've had some of them to say, hey, Charles, listen, when I die, will you do my funeral? And I'll tell them, yes, I hope it's a long time off. Hope you can get back to church before it happens too. Brother, we've got to understand this idea of being a solo Christian is not a good thing. We need to be those people that we're going to be worshiping with other Christians and we're going to be serving with other Christians. We've got too many in this world that talk about being a child of God that do not participate in God's kingdom. And you can't do that by yourself. And we're going to mention, and you'll see the list there of things that we are to do together, to be a part of, to be working together. In Genesis 2 and verse 18, it says, man does not need to be alone. And you're sitting there saying, wait a minute, he's talking about getting him a wife. No, he's talking about social function together with each other. And we don't realize how important that is. You take a husband and wife, and if they don't associate with each other, they'll grow apart. And probably end up in a divorce because one's going one way, the other's going another way. That's the reason that don't get so busy in this world you forget about your family. And be a part of your family. You have that family and you be there. There is not a job in this world that is more important than your family outside of being a child of God. I don't care who you are. If you're a doctor, everything you can do for a patient may not be enough. They may die. They may die. There's not any job that's that important that you'll sacrifice your family. And if you want to listen to some people who now decry the idea of success and they've lost their family, you can get a list of them. That they think now, I wish I'd have been with my family rather than this company or doing this job or doing this thing. It's important that we understand that. We are to be social beings. We are to associate with each other. Now look at this list here. This list of Christian togetherness. What we're supposed to do as those that are Christians together, we are to have a fellowship with each other. Acts 2 and verse 42. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. That's an association with each other. That's not just coming to the worship service either. Please understand that. That's being a part of the church, being active within the church. That's having something to do with other people. And if you don't do that, let me tell you something. If you don't do that, you won't have an affinity to the church. Then he goes on to talk about not only the fellowship, but with the fellowship as those that are be fellow citizens in the kingdom of God, Ephesians 2 and verse 19. And then we're to be fellow heirs. We're working together as a family, Ephesians 3 and verse 6. We're to have to be fellow workers, Colossians 4. We're to be working together to be able to accomplish a thing. A church can't do that if the members are not there. It can't accomplish that if we're not participating in a part of that. We're to be fellow servants, Colossians 1 and verse 7. That means I'm serving you and you're serving me and we're helping others and we're doing for others. That's what will attract. You know what the world's looking for? A church that is concerned about them. Is that wrong? Nope. I think you can go the extreme in that. And all you want is what they can do for you, but that's not it. We need to be there for people. We need to be there to try to help people, to try to encourage people. We are to be fellow soldiers, Philippians 2 and verse 25. We're to be those that are working together in the kingdom of God as servants and working there to help others. We're also to be, to take that right hand of fellowship, Galatians 2 and verse 9, as it talks about there. We are to have that right hand of fellowship. And we're to extend that to each other. And I'm not talking about just shaking hands with people. I'm talking about having an association with each other. Brethren, I've had people ask me over the years, do I have to come on Wednesday night? Do I have to come on Sunday night? You don't have to come on Sunday morning. Did you know that? Now please understand, there's consequences for not coming on Sunday morning. You're turning away from your brethren. You're not worshiping. You can't give. You can't partake of the Lord's Supper. You can't pray as a unit together with each other. Can you do all of those things by yourself? Yes, you can. But you know what that results in? You don't know your brethren. You don't love your brethren. And you don't love the church. The very idea of, do I have to come? You don't have to. But there's consequences. Do you have to come on Sunday night? No, you don't. But there are consequences. Your fellowship with your brethren is not there. The strength of the church is not shown there. How do you think it would feel? I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he said, listen, we had 320 people in our services Sunday morning. Let me ask you something. What if we had 320 people here? What would you feel like? How would it make you feel? Would you go out Monday and go down to the store, Craig's store down here, and stand down there and say, anybody want to ask me how many we had at church? Anybody want to ask me? You don't have to ask, I'll tell you. 320 people. We had 400. We had to put chairs out. We had to take Terry, have him stand in the corner over here, didn't have a place for him to sit. And it wouldn't make him mad, would it? No. No. Do you see how that would make us feel? You say, well, why don't we have that? Well, because we're not inviting that. We're not working toward that. We're not asking people to come. And it's not a matter of you've got to be able to know all the kings and when they served and the day they were there and the day they were appointed and all their children, all the prophets and all that. It's good to know all those things. You may not even know all the apostles and be able to name every one of them. That's okay. But can we say, hey, why don't you come down and sit with me at church? Preachers are not that bad. And maybe they don't preach too long. Why don't you do that? And let those people know what it is. Why don't you say to those people that are members of the church here, that are a part of the body of Christ here, that you hadn't seen in a long time, listen, come on back. It's okay. We love you. We want you here. Now, it's great to know all about the Bible, but it's great to have this fellowship with each other and have this brotherly love that is there and have this membership that is there. That's what Paul's talking about. That's what he's trying to get the people at Corinth to have a fellowship with each other that is so great. What were they doing? Well, you can go back. They had several little problems there. They had a kind of a preacher problem. One liked to hear this preacher over another preacher. And probably when one preacher wasn't preaching that they didn't want to hear, they didn't go to services that night. Now, if it was Peter, whoa, we're going to be there for him. You know, he's an apostle. Well, Philip's preaching tonight, and you know how dull Philip is. And you know how long-winded that Paul gets. Now, I like Timothy. He's young. Let me tell you something. Don't base your religion on things like that. Paul told them, don't do that. He was trying to help people to see you don't need to live that way. You don't need to conduct your life that way. God has appointed, God has placed us within the church. I don't mean in a miraculous way. I'm saying He placed us there because we have obeyed the gospel. And let me tell you something, He's got a use for every person. There is nobody in this congregation that God does not have a use for. He wants everybody here. He wants everybody here so we can be together with each other. Because, as we've already mentioned, this old world is a rough place. And sometimes we suffer this, we suffer that, we deal with this, we deal with that, and we've got to learn that we got somebody that cares for us. I hope somebody shook your hand, hugged your neck. If they didn't, you see me after church and I'll hug you twice. I want you to know we appreciate you being here. Meet, greet, shake hands, love, do what we can for other people. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're trying to do here as children of God. Now, look at this if you would. This together thing, aspect of living the Christian life is very important. We have a special responsibility, and we need to recognize that to other Christians. It's not just that you are here by yourself and you're fighting by yourself. You've got a responsibility to others. I mentioned a while ago, if we had 320 people here, wouldn't you feel great? Wouldn't you feel wonderful? Somebody says, well, man, we didn't have, but I don't know what we got today, 130, 20, 15. Oh, man, it's awful. Well, I don't know about you. I don't really worry about the numbers. But I certainly wouldn't turn down 320 on Sunday night either. And that's what we ought to have. Why? Because we are brethren and we're going to be together and we're going to associate with each other and we're going to let other people know that we care for each other. Our concern for each other, our care for each other needs to be there. It's got to be a part of that. That's what Paul was talking about. 1 Corinthians 12, he was saying to them, listen, don't show off your gift, but show your love for those other people. Don't show off what you know, but show your love for other people. Don't show off what you have, but show your love for other people. Show how much you care, how much you want to be with them. Help people to see the need to be together and come together. And if we're those people that we have that responsibility, then we're going to share in that peaceableness that we need to have. We're going to have a peace about us, a peace that passes all understanding because we care for each other and we show that for each other. A part of that is shown by how many we have here. That's a part of it. That's not everything. You can have a building full of people and not have a church, but you got to have a church, and a church is people that are working together and love each other and want to love more people, and they want more people to be a part of it. We can't become discouraged in that. We've got to be encouraged. We've got to be encouraged to help people to know that. This togetherness aspect of Christianity is so important and so necessary. We've got to learn to appreciate each other. Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5. Turn there if you would. In Philippians 1. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I thank my God on every remembrance of you. Also in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, could you imagine him not praying for these people that he loved? Could you imagine him not going to God and thinking about these people? And when he got there, you know, Paul on several occasions said, when I get there, I want to see so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. He loved those people. Do you realize if you're not here? You see, most people sit in the same pew all the time. Don't you? Yeah, you do. I can look up here and I can look out and I can tell who's not here. Now, as a preacher, you get to where you can do that. And see, if Joe's not here, there's nobody in that pew. And I look over there and I say, Joe's not here. And I could go right down through there. And I might miss some, but I'll know most of them. And I'll miss you. But it's not just me. Other people will miss you too. They'll know you're there. They'll know you're not there. And they'll know you're there too. That's just a part of it. And that's a part of this idea of fellowship that we have. This idea of togetherness with each other and being there with each other and having those things and being a part of that. And he goes on here talking about we'll appreciate one another. That's what we just looked at. Willingness to work together with each other. We want to do that and we'll get together. You know, churches don't realize. You know, they get together to paint a room and, you know, get a lot of people there. Clean the yard. Get a lot of people. Somebody said, what's that got to do with spirituality? It has more to do than we even realize. Because we're working together with each other. What about if we found somebody in this town that needed their house painted and we said, okay, we're going to go paint somebody's house. And y'all come. Somebody said, oh man, I don't know if I want to do that. Let me tell you something. Every one of those people that go, men and women and children, will never forget that. I can remember how the church did that and did this. And we worked together in this and we worked together in that. And we worked to accomplish this and we worked to accomplish that. Friendship, warmth is there. Not only for just our family, but for every person that's there. And then we can see how it helps us to have a gentleness and a care and a concern for other people. We can see that it's, as we talked this morning in Bible class, about the love that is there and the responsibility we have to learn to love each other. Now, look at some of the benefits to this. Things that we can do. Some people don't want to place membership. That's the term we use. You don't necessarily, I mean, it's not found nowhere in the Bible. To me, if a person's coming to church here and they come two or three times, I just consider them a member and forget about it and go on. We say, well, this one hadn't placed membership. Let me tell you something. If you're here, you're in the right place. That's okay. We like it. But we want people to let other people know, I want to work with y'all. I want to be a part of y'all. When y'all have a get-together, you call me. I'm coming. I want to be a part of that. I want to know that. I want to fellowship with you. I want to associate with you. Do you know what happens if we become solo Christians and we're over here by ourselves and maybe we come every once in a while, but we really don't get involved in the church? I'm going to tell you something. A person like that is not going to be faithful to God very long. You can't do it. You won't know those people. And then after a while, you get embarrassed about coming back because they're going to say, where have you been? I won't ask you where you've been. I'll tell you, I've missed you. It's your business where you've been. It's my business that I've missed you. And I want you to know that I've missed you. We need to try to do that with everybody. Because you see, I might miss somebody. And I don't want to do that, but I do. Let people know that we care for them, that we're concerned about them, that we're thinking about them. We wanted them to know how much we really care. And so we're not going to be those. We want to, a part of the benefit of what we're going to get out of this is that we are able to pray for each other and let each other know that we care for them. And then it goes on down. We need to continue to help them. And it may be a financial way that we need to help them. It may be some way we might need to do. That's one of the benefits of being a child of God. We have people that call here. You can ask David about this. He gets it. I get it. I give it to him. They call here, and I give them the name. I've got to where I've been asking everybody that calls. And if you call for financial help, I'll ask you this. Where do you go to church? You know what 99% of them say? Well, I hadn't started anywhere yet. Why? You can call a church for financial help, but you can't call a church for spiritual help. You can call a church because the light bill needs to be paid, but your soul may be so engrossed in sin that you're not going to call a church for that. Does it show the importance of what these things are? Now you say, well, these people, they need help. Yes, they do. And they need more than just financial help. They need spiritual help. And I guarantee you, it'll help them financially if they're spiritually right. Because Linda and I have seen a lot of times when we didn't know if we were going to have enough money to get out of the month. And you go to God and ask Him for your help. And you go to the services and smile for your brethren and let them know you care for them. And you help to get your priorities right. And it helps you to do all of these things and get all of these things there and have all of these things there. We are those that we are helped to maintain the congregation. It encourages other people. If you are here, it discourages them. If your pew is empty, is that right? Okay. That's true, and we need that. We need to find a role for us within the church. We need to find something that we can do in the church that the church depends on me to do that. Now, it's not just that Mark and I get paid to do this. Don't tell the elders, but we do it for nothing. Don't tell them. Linda said, oh, no, you wouldn't. Not long. She said, you'd be finding you a job, fat boy. But you see, this is not work. This is a part of the joy of it all. Even under Christianity, the work becomes joy. That's a part of it. And that's a part of what we've got to have. Now, look at this. There is needed for us, or a need for us to be involved. The benefits. We got friendship. There's a lot of people in this world that are lonely and without anybody. But you're not that way if you're a child of God. You've got friends. Now, if you want to cut yourself off from those friends, you can do that too. You've got a strength. Just as this morning in Bible class, and just as in just a moment when the announcements are made, people are going to be mentioned that are sick, and you're going to say, wait a minute, I need to write this down. I need to pray for them. I need to go by and see them. I need to let them know that I'm thinking about them, that I'm concerned about them. And sometimes we need to be admonished, to encouraged to do what is right and what we already know we need to do. We need that. We need the instruction. There's not a person here. Let me tell you something. If you don't have time to come to the church and to worship with God, you're not going to have much time to read your Bible because the world will take it up. Have you ever wondered why we're so busy in this world today? The devil, and it's the devil, he doesn't want us to study the Word of God. He doesn't want us to find the Word of God. He doesn't want us to have the fellowship one with another. He doesn't want to do that. Because he knows if we do, then we'll be together. And he can't defeat us that way. Because I may be down, but you're going to be up. And so we encourage each other. We are those that are going to be helping others, and it feels good to help other people. It feels good to do for other people. It feels good to help others in some way, to help them as they live the Christian life and help them as they serve God. Let me tell you something. We need people that are putting their names on the line to be a part of a congregation and to worship with them. It is a shame and a disgrace before God that people are not a member of a congregation with that responsibility. And see, sometimes people don't want to place membership because they know if they do, they feel obligated to be a part of it. You need to feel obligated to be a part of the church. If you've been immersed in water to be a Christian, you are to be Christ-like. You're to be Christians. You're to have fellowship. You're to have a unity with each other. That's a part of what you're supposed to have. You're to be there and you're to be united together. We need to be those people that we are Christians and we're worshiping each other and we're serving with each other and we're doing God's will. We're worshiping together. That's what we're talking about. Now, you say, wait a minute, I'm already a part of this congregation. I placed membership a long time ago. I placed membership before you even got here. Okay. Let's just go to work then. Let's just go to work then. Let's do some things. Let's feel good about our Christianity. Let's feel good enough about it to where we want other people to be a part of it. We'll invite them to be a part of it. We've got to do that. We're in this thing together. It's not a matter of, the elders have got to do this and they got to do that. Listen, we're in it together. One of the things, maybe I've mentioned this before. A friend of mine was talking to his wife one day. He said, I don't know what they're going to do down there at church. She said, what do you mean what they're going to do? He said, yeah, I just don't know what they're going to do. She said, aren't you a member down there? He said, well, yeah. She said, well, what are you going to do then? It's not what they're going to do. It's what you're going to do. Don't sit back and wait for somebody to tell you to do something. Just do it. Get it done. Be a part of it. And you don't have to be a genius to figure out something to do. But everybody needs at least one job to do in the church. And if people have one job, they're going to be happy about it. But if they have nothing to do, they're not going to feel an obligation to attend. They're not going to feel an obligation to work with other people. They're not going to feel an obligation to give. They're not going to feel an obligation to do anything. And before long, they're not going to be here. And that's what's happening to the church. Listen, if you're here and you're a member of the church and you haven't placed membership, today's the day to do it. Just let people know, I want to be a part of this church. I want to work here. Put me down for something. And don't say, wait a minute, you put me down for something that I can't do. Try it. It might surprise you at how good you are. And then it might help you to understand, don't ever do that job again, too. That's okay. You mark that one off and go find you another one. Because there's enough here for everybody to stay busy, right? Amen. That's exactly right. And look for it. Place your membership here. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a child of God. Because you see, you can only be saved if you're part of the body of Christ. And the only way I know to get in that is to hear, believe, repent, confess, and then be immersed to be a child of God. And then you start living it. Then you start your work. You hadn't even started work until that time, till after baptism. Baptism's not a work. It's a manifestation of faith. Then you start working in the kingdom.